Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
So thank you, Mark. And after the outstanding presentation of this morning session, we hope we will not disappoint the audience with ours. So the question we're trying to answer with our paper is whether the European Union is an unexpected guest at the International Criminal Court. In the title, the International Criminal Court has a symbolic meaning as the most representative institution of international criminal justice. We are intending international criminal justice in a narrow sense for the purpose of our presentation, so we will limit the concept to the investigation and prosecution of core international crimes. We will not look at transitional justice processes or amnesties. So if we had to answer the question of the title without thinking, we would say no. The European Union has little influence on international criminal justice. But looking at the research and the results we have reached, the conclusions could be a little bit different. And now we're going to expose them to you. So the European Union interest towards international criminal justice can be divided in two categories: proper interests of the Union and general factors influencing the Union's approach in its actions. On the one hand, the proper interests are the economic interest and security, internal and international. On the other hand, the general factors influencing the Union's approach are the affirmation of the European identity and power. As far as the proper European interests are concerned, the first one to come into question is the economic interest. Everybody knows that the European communities were founded in order to get to free trade and economic growth of the continent. So every time the EU is acting, it is acting for the sake of its internal economy, the economic integration of the member states, as well as the Union's proper financial interests. In the second place, security is another objective of the Union, we've said, both internal and international. And in conjunction with freedom and justice, it was one of the main pillars on which the Union has been built. Therefore, the combating of crime, the control of external borders and immigration are mid-term objectives for the achievement of security as a precondition of economic stability and growth. On the other hand, as far as the general factors are concerned, the safeguard and the building of the European identity has been indicated as one of the reasons in base of which the Union acts internally and internationally. Of course, the reinforcement of a European identity as based on human rights and rule of law can be achieved also through a strong external coordinated commitment in international criminal justice. And this affirmation of the European identity is necessary for the Union to distinguish it and itself in opposition to other international actors in order to gain more internal cohesion as a precondition for economic integration. Moreover, power can be a possible explanation as well of the Union's approach toward ICJ and as a part of the wider approach to its external relations. So a united European action in international justice could help showing a new European international role, both in transatlantic relations and in new world leadership. Among this possible way to interpret the EU action towards international criminal justice, we have chosen the first one. So we will speak about the Union's proper interest in international criminal justice. And in this perspective, these interests have to interact with international criminal justice objectives, such as the fight against impunity, prosecution of core international crimes, and the pursuit of justice. Having regard to our result, it is reasonable to state that the European Union has no direct interest in impunity itself, of course. Nevertheless, we can say that the EU has no interest in the achievement of international criminal justice itself and at all costs. Better said, from the results of our research, we have seen that international criminal justice is not a proper objective of the Union, but it is often a mean to achieve other relevant goals. So in this perspective we have adopted, there is a lack of coordination between the different goals pursued by the Union in this perspective. First of all, the unionist interest in security and fight against terrorism, together with immigration control, can be considered as a unique group of interests. In the second place, stabilization and the rule of law as objectives of the union's external action have to be pursued at all costs, and we will see it in the relevant external action missions of the union. Thirdly, judicial cooperation with the International Criminal Court in particular, and the international promotion of universality and complementarity of the Rome Statute have shown a European interest in a formal commitment towards human rights-related issues, but their outcome has been nothing more than formal undertakings, and this has not resulted in major actions. So we have obtained these results, confronting several instruments in an empirical analysis. These instruments regards the interaction between the EU and ICJ. So we have looked at, in the area of freedom, security and justice, Eurojust and the so-called genocide network. The relevant common foreign security policy actions, such as Council decisions regarding the International Criminal Court, ICC clauses in international agreement, the international agreement between the European Union and the International Criminal Court, the European Union policy framework to transitional justice, and in the wider external action of the Union, the possible interaction between external action missions and ICC relevant situations, as well as a focus on ULECs in Kosovo and the founding of the specialist chambers and the specialist prosecutor. To begin with, in the area of freedom, security and justice, we have looked at Eurojust as the main judicial cooperation body of the Union. And in this regard, the most important instrument has been the so-called genocide network, which is the European network of contact points in respect of persons responsible for genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. It was established in 2002 by the Council of the European Union, and it is a tool to help the member state investigating and prosecuting core international crimes. Therefore, it is an important means to achieve an investigation and prosecution at national level, not at the level of international tribunals. And the important thing to note here is the fact that the Council and the Union in general considers itself involved not as potential territory of perpetration of core crimes, of course, and not even considers its citizens as potential perpetrators, victims of international crimes. The Union considers itself involved as a potential territory of immigration of perpetrators or victims of core international crimes. And in order to state it, we have seen that examining the recent conclusions of the Genocide Network meeting, there is a clear reference to Frontex, which is the European Border and Coast Guard Agency, in the network's work. The points on the agenda of the network were current trends in immigration flow, Frontex's support to national authorities investigating and prosecuting core crimes, and immigrant smuggling. Looking at the common foreign security policy, the first instrument is the Council decision 2011-168 CFSP, which regulates the cooperation and the attitude of the Union towards the International Criminal Court in particular. And this decision, as a Council decision, was adopted under intergovernmental method, and this means that there is the rule of the unanimity among all the foreign ministers of the member states of the Union. So, in this regard, the states prefer maintaining strong monopoly over this matter. And this decision has nothing really practical to rule. It is a decision undertaking a formal commitment towards the European, the International Criminal Court and the universality and complementarity of the Rome Statute of the Union. And it was implemented by an action plan. Moreover, another important instrument are the so-called ICC clauses in international agreements with third states. These clauses oblige third states to ratify the Rome Statute and comply with it if they want the Union to comply to the other clauses of this agreement. The first example was the Cotonou Agreement of 2007. And we will see it has now an importance for the Gabon situation, and Jacopo will talk about it. Again, another instrument is the International Agreement of Cooperation between the European Union and the International Criminal Court of 2006. This international agreement regulates cooperation between the two institutions and obliges the Union to provide information, or also classified information with special procedures, the possible testimony of EU personnel and immunities. Important is the closer relationship granted with the Office of the Prosecutor. So there is a special article dedicated to this cooperation between the Union and the OTP. So the decision of the Union to cooperate or not to cooperate with the Office of the Prosecutor could be relevant for the goals of international criminal justice, of course, as it is a means to cooperate with the investigations of the OTP. So the last instrument I'm analyzing is the European Union Policy Framework to Transitional Justice. It is again framed in the Common Foreign Security Policy, and it expresses the Union's intention to have an active role in supporting transitional justice processes in cooperation with other states and international organizations. Its objectives are ending impunity, providing recognition and redress for victims, fostering trust, strengthening the rule of law, and contributing to reconciliation. It is part of the wider action of the Union towards human rights, rule of law, and democracy. But the most interesting thing to note is that there is a specific priority given to gender issues in transitional justice. This could seem odd because, of course, we always think about international crimes as related to ethnicity and religion. But here, this priority given to gender and sexual-based crimes could reflect also the particular attention granted from the OTP of the International Criminal Court to gender and sexual-based crimes. In fact, the Office of the Prosecutor in its policy papers has created a hierarchy not only among the crimes, but also among the single conducts in the crimes, and gender-based and sexual crimes are granted the gravity assessment for the OTP. So this policy paper of the Union could mean a two-way relationship between the Union and the ICC, also with an influence coming from the OTP, in this case, on EU policies. So now I'm giving the floor to Jacopo, who will go on. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I apologize for the flu, but this is. So in the second part of our research, imported an analysis of the EU missions within the external action and a comparison with the situations under preliminary examination, investigation, and prosecution at the ICC. In these cases, we made a comparison between the beginning of the EU missions and at least the public decisions of the court, and in particular of the Office of the Prosecutor. First of all, in our analysis, we distinguished two blocks of missions, missions not linked to any ICC situation and missions in a third state interested by an ICC situation. Of course, there is not enough time to provide details on each EU missions, but I will try to provide you with an overview. We read the available official documents related to these missions, and sometimes also we discovered inconsistencies. For example, the mandate of a mission in Mali suggests to be based on a UN Security Council resolution, but the UN Security Council resolution only takes notes of the commitment of member states and also including the planned deployment of the European Union with its mission. All these are obviously clues also to understand in which way the EU considers itself involved in international criminal justice issues. In fact, as has already been said, it is not possible to exclude a priori a conflict between EU and international criminal justice interests. Such interests can coincide, but it is also likely that impunity for international crimes could be in line with EU economic or other interests in third states, and moreover, immigration policies of the Union could be a source of international agreements with third states, which could have an interest in impunity for mass atrocities perpetrators. So the block, the first block of missions not related to ICC situations is composed by three missions in Somalia, one in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and one in Niger. Somalia is not even part of the Rome Statute, so a comparison is also difficult to make because the prosecutor is now, an intervention of the prosecutor is nowadays highly improbable. The main aspects related to these missions are the fight against piracy and robbery at sea of the Horn of Africa. Although EU naval forces has the power to arrest, detain, and transfer individuals suspected of having committed crimes of piracy, the issue is more evidently linked to EU economic interests and transnational crimes rather than international crimes. Likewise, EUCAP Sahel Niger, that is the mission in Niger, is part of the EU wider program in Sahel, involving other states such as Burkina Faso, Mali, Chad, and Mauritania, where security, immigration, terrorism, the humanitarian situation, and long-term development are the main issues. In 2015 has been adopted the Sahel Regional Action Plan that lists four key priorities: preventing and countering radicalization, creating appropriate conditions for youth migration and mobility, border management, fights against illicit trafficking, and transnational organized crimes. So international criminal justice is not part of this, it's not within this list. The last mission is in Bosnia and Herzegovina, where, according to scholars, the pragmatic approach to facilitate cohesion sometimes prevailed on the reasons of justice. Of course, it does not mean that the mission did not cooperate with the ICTY as required by its mandate. Now let's start with the second block of missions in countries related to ISIS's situation. There is anyway a mission in Palestine, a mission in Ukraine and Moldova, and a mission in Central African Republic that are not linked to the situations now and before the ICC. The mandate of the second mission in Palestine is related to criminal law, but not to international criminal law, not to the prosecution of crimes, and also in light of the way Palestine ratified the Rome Statute, it is difficult to imagine an influence of the European Union over the ICC decision, the Office of the Prosecutor's decision to investigate in Palestine. And the reason is way more linked to the historical instability of the region. Then there are two missions in Libya that are not directly linked to international criminal justice matters, and especially to the ICC situations, situation, although trafficking in human beings could develop in an interesting issue, as suggested recently by the statements of the prosecutor Bensouda. The situation in Libya represents an issue of general interests of the international community and not only of the EU interests, but EU intervention is motivated usually by self-interest related to immigration and to the fact that Libya is in fact at the borders of the EU Mediterranean states and main departing point for sea human trafficking and immigration. A possible future commitment of the EU in Libya would be probably motivated by the same grounds. The presence of the European Union in Mali with a specific mission, as the investigation of the Office of the Prosecutor of the ICC, are justified by the express request of the Malian government to provide assistance in training the Malian armed forces, and it can be considered a complementary measure to the activity of the Office of the Prosecutor and the Court in general. The second mission in Mali considers justice only in second place and as a tool to achieve other primary goals, such as stability in the World Sahel region and the mandate focus on security and development. There are, of course, the missions in Georgia and Ukraine, and the reasons of EU interest in these two countries is not difficult to imagine, even without trivializing the situation to a Cold War scenario, because they are close to EU borders, they are member of the Council of Europe, and in strategic geographical position, or also in light of a possible European enlargement, especially for Ukraine. So prevent a conflict and mediate to find a solution is per se, in our opinion, a sufficient justification for EU involvement. In both the situations, the European Union and the court, the Office of the Prosecutor, acted simultaneously. And in Ukraine, the European Union and the court's intervention were requested by Ukrainian government itself. So, anyway, their goals are not directly related to international criminal justice. Then, of course, we have EULEX, that is the European Rule of Law Mission in Kosovo, supported by a UN Security Council resolution. The joint action of the Union is in line with the objectives pursued by the EU treaties and aimed in strengthening stability in the region. In line, and this is a quotation, with the European perspective. So, anyway, a negative approach also in this case to the EU intervention in Kosovo, as such, would be argumentative. Within other tasks, Article 3D of the joint action includes ensuring that cases of war crimes, terrorism, organized crime, corruption, inter-ethnic crimes, financial and economic crimes, and other serious crimes are properly investigated, prosecuted, adjudicated, and enforced according to applicable law, including by international subjects jointly with Kosovo institutions or independently. So the reference of war crimes, inter-ethnic crimes, that seems as an attempt not to use words such as genocide and crimes against humanity, is clearly linked to the particular regional situation and leads to the heart of international criminal justice, the crimes, of course. A significant involvement of the EU in international criminal justice in Kosovo was the decision to constitute the specialist investigative task force, the specialist prosecutor's office, and the specialist chambers. This decision followed the former ICDY chief prosecutor declarations, denounced of possible crimes committed in Kosovo by the Kosovo Liberation Army. And after her declaration, the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe issued, so not of the European Union, issued a report entitled Inhuman Treatment of People and Illicit Trafficking in Human Organs in Kosovo, denouncing the situation. In this report, Dick Marty remembered that the international community favored a pragmatic political approach, avoiding the adoption of measures against Kosovo Liberation Army leaders allegedly responsible for these crimes that were integrated into the new Kosovo institutions. The rapporteur denounced the lack of cooperation of Albania and other state members of the Council of Europe in cooperation with the EULEX mission. And he mentions also specific people who had repeatedly been subject to investigations and prosecutor both by the UN mission in Kosovo and EULEX, and that had anyway evaded effective justice. He calls these KLA leaders as untouchables, and the Assembly was also concerned because of all the international community in Kosovo, and the European Union too, undoubtedly possessed the same overwhelming documentation of the full extent of the crimes committed by these people, but not seemed prepared to react in face of such a situation and hold the perpetrators account. There is no doubt that despite some appreciation for EULEX missions, at least EU was to blame for its inertia in the situation. The different nature of the Council of Europe and the European Union and the difference between the main interests and goals clearly emerge from the contrasting approach adopted by these two institutions in the same situation. Only after the Council of Europe report, the EU decided to conduct an independent criminal investigation into the war crimes and organized crime allegations contained in the report. It demonstrates that the European Union can play an active role in international criminal justice, but that its involvement is subordinated to other interests. At the beginning, the EU was asked by the UN mission in Kosovo to help Kosovo to develop its economy with aids and funds. But the endemic corruption imposed the EU to extend its mandate in order to achieve the economic goals and the rule of law and fight against corruption. It is the same path followed on the internal level by the European Union. The protection of the EU economic interest is the premise to the attribution of criminal competence to European Union institutions. The creation of the European team of prosecutors and chambers has been prompt and rapid after Dick Smarty reports, and it is also odd that the first European prosecutor, if we can say call it this way, was created to investigate and prosecute crimes committed outside EU borders, while member states still not to give up their sovereignty in criminal matters as the process of harmonization would require. So to sum up, incoherence seems to be the rule governing EU attitude towards international criminal justice. The result of the pursuit of different goals, sometimes also through the punishment of core crimes and doing it under different frameworks, means to disaggregate European efforts, both financial and moral. Furthermore, trying to approach international justice with different legal instruments adopted with different internal power balancing rules means to be subject to different power relationships according to the means used. This is to say that adopting a decision under intergovernmental method means to be subject to the council power rules, while a military mission under the external action depends totally from single member states' power and decisions. International criminal justice seems to be perceived as something different and external from the European proper perspective, objectives. And no later than 3 days ago, the government of Gabon expressly refused any international investigation but the one of the International Criminal Court, referring to the EU recommendation to investigate on the alleged international crimes committed in Gabon in compliance with the Cotonou Agreement that has already been mentioned and Gabon's human rights commitment. We will see now how this situation will develop. Signs of a possible change of EU interests are the recent transnational justice framework and the creation of the specialist chambers and the specialist prosecutor, but the transnational justice framework risks to remain a formal declaration, as other examples, such as the ICC closes, while the chambers and the prosecutor are a result of the pressure of other international actors, such as the former ICDY prosecutor and the Council of Europe. The change, if you can say has been driven by an international pressure on the EU to stay faithful to its international human rights and rule of law commitment. So thank you. This was the presentation.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.